It's Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fenney. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fenney.
Morning.
Hello.
How's it going? Yeah. Well, it's Daily Scramble Live, and we're going to say words and play music.
Yeah, and Mike Waldman will be here later on today for Waldman's Wardrobe, playing some rare tracks, and I will tell you my entire emergency room story from last
night. Yesterday, we dedicated the entire show to David Bowie's sad demise, and this, today, the entire show is dedicated to Tyler's big toe.
Little toe. Little left pinky toe.
Yeah, so good morning, look forward to that. It's Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5.
Yeah, British rock supergroup there, The Good, The Bad, and The Queen. Actually, the band doesn't really have a name. That's the name of the album. And History Song was that song there with Damon Albarn and many more, produced by Danger Mouse from 2007 or so.
Cool.
Good morning, Jason Fenney.
Morning.
I really am fine. I know I look like I've gotten hit by a car. All I did was stub my toe ferociously on a chair.
I know that.
That's all I did.
I know that. I know that, Tyler. I know you're fine.
But
you're behaving like a man who is not fine.
Well, that's because the doctor told me to. Last night...
Could you just elevate my toe?
I was talking...
Get me a glass of water.
Well, I can't. I got crutches.
I know.
Jason, you've been taking good care of me. I was talking to my parents last night. And do you still do everything they say to you? Like, if your mom tells you to do something, do you do it?
I always say, yes, Mom, I'll do it. I always say that.
Right.
I don't always do it.
Yeah. I still do it.
Yeah. Well, your parents are not, you know, they don't have dementia.
So they said, you need to go to the emergency room. And I said, all I did was break my toe. What are they possibly going to do?
There's nothing they can do. They don't do anything. They're going to charge you.
Exactly.
That's what they're going
to
do.
That's why I called my insurance first, see how much it costs. And I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I went. And our Mission Hospital emergency room is great. Nothing bad to say about them. You get right in. The doctors are attractive.
That's important.
It's really great. Everybody's friendly.
Yeah.
But there were some really crazy people there last night. Just the craziest of people.
We have somebody yelling? There's usually somebody yelling.
Yes, yes. Yeah. There was a man right behind me, handcuffed to his bed. I was in a hallway bed. So I saw all the action, which I was actually quite excited about.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go to the ER, you might as well make it fun.
Yeah, of course.
Right behind me, and he's yelling, I'm going to do something crazy. You guys better watch out. I'm going to go insane.
Oh,
Take me to the psych ward.
Yeah. And, oh, my goodness.
And the nurse comes over to me. She whispers to me. She goes, don't worry. He's handcuffed.
Wow.
So he was crazy.
Yeah.
Hope he's listening. And there was a guy who was on, I came to deduce, was on painkillers and alcohol, so he was totally out of it.
Yeah.
And he was pulling his IV out, trying to escape.
Yeah.
And they said, sir, we're going to have to catheterize you. And he was like,
oh, no. Oh.
And he was right next to
me. Is that where they put the tube in?
Yep, that's where.
Oh, no.
And, that's about it. But it was exciting.
Wow, people yelling and all that's good.
So anyway, I got an x-ray, and I've acutely fractured the medial fifth something on my pinky toe. It's not dislocated, so they didn't have to like back in.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to see the orthopedist, and he's not going to say anything. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do.
Nothing.
But I have this boot, this shoe thing. I'm supposed to not put any weight on it for a week, and I've got crutches, which feels so silly because I'm expending all this effort to go from my kitchen to my bedroom, and I can't carry a glass of water, all because of my pinky toe.
It's probably good for your arm muscles, though.
Sure.
It's a workout, isn't it?
I've spent a lot of time on crutches, so I'm all right.
You're doing well. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to go skiing at the weekend.
Right.
Unless you do tobogganing.
Mm.
Can you do that?
Doesn't seem safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're all right. I think your pinkies, and it's like the gallbladder, isn't it? It's unnecessary. We've evolved. We're not swinging from trees.
Well, she said offhandedly, the doctor, very attractive doctor, said, if it was any worse, we could just take the toe. And yeah. I thought, I was like, ha ha. Yeah. She goes, no, 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 really. No, like, they could remove it. That's what we'd really do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They can remove it without any difficulty.
Well, I'm glad they
did. Walk on your butt. There's a name for it. I forget what it is now. There are certain animals that walk on their toes, like cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are animals like us who walk on their balls and heel, mm-hmm. ball of the foot and the heel. And please don't text in. We don't care what the names are. But it's just a different kind of way of being.
Well, the doctor who called into the show yesterday was very nice, George, said that I should tape them together. And he's right. That's precisely what they did.
Yeah.
They just added a shoe.
A big shoe and some a couple crutches. And a big bill.
It looks so much worse than it is.
Right.
So unnecessary.
It does look, it's like you've broken it. Well, you have broken it. It looks like you've broken your whole foot.
Right, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ah, well.
I'll be all right.
It's something to talk about on the radio, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking. And I made some new fans. I made a lot of new fans last night. Because everybody asks you where you work.
Right.
That's one thing they ask you at the hospital.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Laguna Radio Incorporated. They're like, what's that? Well, the whole thing.
Yeah.
People in the waiting room, I told them about the station. I hope they're all listening right now. You are all wonderful people.
Yeah, especially the handcuff guy. He's right up our street. There's always somebody drunk and yelling in there. It's actually a very nice emergency room compared to...
Oh, it's fantastic.
If you go to a big city, man, well, everybody's handcuffed.
The Bill and Sue Gross ER. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Coming up, we'll do it only in Laguna File. We'll do new Spins Me Right Round. We'll explain both. Folk rock out of Los Angeles, husband and wife duo called Minor. Their new album, Tunaki, comes out pretty soon.
I'll have the Tunaki, please. Hey, sorry, did you have something you wanted to say?
I was going to do a thing.
Oh, go ahead.
No, but you, it's okay.
After you.
Okay, you hang up first.
All right.
Let's open the only in Laguna file.
This.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Jason Fetty sings the police blotter sometimes. Sometimes we just speak it. You know, whatever works. So today's only in Laguna file comes from Temple Hills Drive. Theft, 700 block, 3:54 p.m., December 18th. A woman came to the police station to report that her watch, valued at, take a guess?
$1,500.
$50,000. Had been stolen. So first, before going to the police department, she went to every consignment store in Orange County and it feels that she saw the watch in a Dana Point store and told the police department exactly that.
Wow.
I feel like I'm missing something here. How would she know the look at a consignment store?
Well, that's where it's going to go, isn't it? Going to sell. That's quite detective-like of her, isn't it? Sleuth-like.
What if, let me just run this by you.
Go on.
What if she is consigning her watch?
That's very cynical. But what I can see that, yeah.
And then under like a different name, different identity.
The cop said to her, what time was your watch stolen? She said, I don't know. My watch was stolen. Sorry.
What if she makes the money from the
watch
and then insists that it was stolen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then has her own watch and... the money.
Right.
And then why not do it again next week?
First of all, I found this to be a Laguna story because someone's watch is worth $50,000.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's for sale. Instead of just calling the cops, you go shopping for your own missing item.
Where was it stolen from? Was it a car or something?
Doesn't say. Yeah.
It's usually from an open car. Oh, I just left it on
a
the
seat. A $50,000 watch?
Yeah, it's usually that in Laguna. People just... 50 grand for a watch. What kind of a watch is it?
Probably a Rolex.
Wow.
Or a Swatch.
Right.
It's not
very expensive Swatch. Well, maybe they're collecting them like Beanie Babies. I bet they do eventually. Swatches will be like that.
You think?
Yeah, why not?
I've got a Swatch. It was $95.
Yeah.
It's a great watch.
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
Not really. Let's play a record.
The absolutely haunting final single from David Bowie called Lazarus off the album Black Star, which was confirmed yesterday. We speculated it yesterday morning, but it was confirmed by the producer Visconti that it was intentionally his goodbye song, his parting gift. And if you watch the video for Lazarus, Bowie in a hospital bed, basically saying goodbye in all black at the end, it's very clear that he knew it was his last video and his last single. So, yeah.
Yeah, haunting, but also classically Bowie witty, like almost funny. Like it's a parody almost of something that could be seen as kind of Halloweenish. It's not Halloweenish, is it? It's really brilliant. You have to watch the video. So great.
Yeah,
gives me some weird mixed feelings. Like because he's got those little buttons over his eyes that right. make him look Tim Burton-ish.
Yeah.
Sort of not Tim Robbins, Tim Burton. Ish, and there's something very beautiful about it. He's very, he was a very clever and artistic man.
Well, what I love about the release is that he released the record, let it stand on its own as good music, and then by dying, gave us context to the album.
Right.
Gave us an explanation for the album.
Yeah.
That's if you're gonna die as one of the most legendary artists of all time, then. That's the way to do it. You
great
know?
Style. Just great poise. Yeah. Really poised yeah. and really stylish. Brilliant. Friend of mine in the UK works for a record label and manages a bunch of bands, says this. What dawned on me this morning regarding the passing of David Bowie is the creative cluster bomb his death has left. The refocus on his extraordinary and peerless legacy is going to scatter and infect young musicians, fashion designers, graphic designers, playwrights, script writers, and all creative arts. His career in life changed popular culture on a seismic level, and now in death will shock the creative world out of homogenization and back into unique creativity. The next day, we can all be heroes. I hope that's true.
Yeah, it would be remarkable, but yeah, I hope so too. Did you see the email between Brian Eno and David Bowie?
No.
Eno and Bowie, of course, have worked together many times before. They're great friends. And it's being revealed now that David left a lot of clues as to his imminent demise. I mean, one of them, of course, being Black Star, but also to his friends and family because he kept everything so close yeah. that nobody really knew he was dying or was on the verge of death. And Brian Eno said they emailed each other all the time, Eno in London and Bowie in L.A. or wherever he was, and the last email that he received from him, and they always ended with fake names for each other and play names for each other, and the last email was signed Dove, or Don, rather, and it said, thank you for all of our good times, Brian. They will never rot. Signed Don. And Brian Eno says he realized now that he was saying bye.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
So you're right. I mean, just classy, not self-loathing in the slightest, even on his deathbed. Just completely positive, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
what a way to die!
Brilliant, brilliant man. I watched a lot of interviews with him yesterday on the old YouTubes, and always poised, always had something to say, always very measured in his answers to questions. Just lovely, wonderful, international treasure.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I hope it does spark something in musicians and artists of all kinds. There's a leaning, and we see this a lot. We don't usually talk about it, but we see this a lot with bands that come through the station. I think you'll agree, without pointing the finger at anybody in particular, that there's this idea that creativity is now part of like a means to an end, a way to make a living, like it's a business, especially for young artists and musicians. And I just think, you know, man, you should just express yourself, because you never know. You may never make a red cent writing songs. You may never. So you should really just do your own thing and really express yourself,
instead of thinking about what's going to make money or what's...
Oh, you can try and second guess that all day yeah. long. And the minute you try and do that, the general sort of pull is towards doing something that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, well, guitars are back in. We'll do guitars, you know. or look at Lady Gaga, I think I'm going to wear a big pair of boots, or,
right,
you know, and that's not how you become a David Bowie. You know, David Bowie did his own thing, had his own plan, thought about it very carefully, God, I wish I were 1% the artist that he was. So brilliant.
If David Bowie came up now, though,
could he get a deal?
It wouldn't be weird. You know what I mean? It wouldn't. It would be like, well, yeah.
Right. I'm not suggesting that people get some big PVC, knee-length pumps and do a spiky ginger mullet. That Bowie did that. You know, there are other things you can do. Think of other like artists. There are those artists around today. You know, think of Jack White or somebody like him.
Who's, sure.
Or the band Radiohead, you know, Tom York. Or, I don't know, there are probably lots more that you can think of and that other people can think of. But,
well, we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what the next original thing is going to be. And it's hard for me to think, everything's been done. I mean, how can there be something new? Of course there will be.
But that's the artists all think that. Artists always think, oh, look, you listen to a Beatles record, you put Sgt. Pepper's on, and you go, why do I bother? It's all been done. It's all been said, but it actually hasn't. And the thing about Sgt. Pepper's, and the thing about David Bowie, and the thing about Jack White, and the thing about all of these great artists, R.E.M., you know, I mean, you know the people I'm talking about. The thing about those artists is they speak to that generation. They really, Bowie did a lot for marginalized kids who, you know, were growing up in the shadow of the Second World War, because this is, you know, we're going back to the late 60s and the 1970s. And he really spoke to a generation of kids in that time that, in a way that I'm not sure that kids are being spoken to today. I don't know. I'm not 20 years old. But I hope there's somebody speaking out there to kids that really touches them in a way that even David Bowie can't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's a nice thought. It's a positive thought. And we'll see how many changes in music occur thanks to a legend's death. Who knows?
Yeah.
Jason Fetty's here. I'm Tyler Russell. It's KX93.5 with Daily Scramble Live. We'll do the news. We need to sing a song for you to the tune of one of our new ads on the radio station. And Mike Waldman will be here later with Rare Tracks. Here's Hippocampus.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
All right, then.
Crikey, is it that time again?
It is already.
Oh.
We missed the opportunity to talk about this yesterday because we spent the whole morning on David Bowie. But let's briefly talk about the Golden Globes.
Ah, your Golden Globes. How are you, Golden Globes?
The Revenant triumphed. It won the night's most coveted prize for Best Dramatic Film. And leading man Leo DiCaprio won for Best Actor. And Iñárritu won for its direction. So it did very, very well. Ridley Scott... Ridley Scott's The Martian was named for Best Comedy or Musical, which is...
That's weird, isn't it?
So strange.
I know.
They made a lot of fun of it at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Saying, Martian, the best comedy of the year.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Doesn't make any sense.
There's some light humor in there, though.
Right, but it's not a comedy by any means.
Yeah.
Brie Larson named Best Actress in a Drama. And yes, Room with Brie Larson was the best movie of the year, in my opinion.
Was it? I haven't seen it yet, and I will go and see it this week.
You got to see Room.
Yeah.
That's about all you need to know, really.
So, have you seen Brooklyn?
No.
Saw that last night.
Not even familiar.
It's a story about New York.
I could have guessed.
It was a long, drawn-out... I watched it with my in-laws and my wife.
They're still here?
They all fell asleep.
Well, yeah.
It was like being in an old age home. I could have stolen all their wallets. I could have robbed them.
You should have.
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching Will Ferrell's Get Hard.
I'm not a fan. I can't help it. I'm just not a fan of his. It's such slapstick to me. It's a lot of face-pulling comedy. It's the comedy of face-pulling, it's not amusing to me.
Yeah.
But this movie, Brooklyn, is like an old-fashioned epic. It's a story of a girl who... nothing happens in it. She goes to Brooklyn from Ireland because, you know, Ireland's poor and Brooklyn's rich. And she arrives on a boat and she gets a job and
wow,
she meets a guy.
Wow, this sounds like a really great...
Yeah, I'm telling you, she gets a guy, meets a guy who's very nice to her. There's no tension there. You're always waiting because most movies, she meets a guy, he's going to ditch her or he's going to do turn out to be a psycho. But no, he's a nice guy.
It sounds like the most boring movie.
And his parents are lower middle class, but they're going to build a house and they'll start a business. And then she goes home, back to Ireland, because her sister dies. And she needs to see her mom, so she goes home. And she almost gets... This is why I can relate to this. She almost gets sucked in to life back in Ireland. She finds a job. Because when she leaves, she hasn't got a job. Now she finds a job, and there's a guy that likes her who's got a home, and he's a catch for a girl, and she's familiar with it, and blah, blah, blah. And that I can relate to that. Sometimes I go back to England, and I have the bagel from the local bagel shop, which is the best, greatest bagel in the world. And I hang out with my old friends. And, it's green and lush and all that. Go down the park, look at the ducks on the lake, blah, blah, blah. It's a fantasy because I'm not working, living there.
I've only listened to 40% of what you've said.
Really? Is it really boring?
So boring.
Well, then she goes back. Then she says, right, I'm not. Then she's almost sucked in. And then she goes, no, I'm going back to New York.
I just can't believe this is still going on.
And she goes back to New York, and then the final scene, she hugs the guy again. And that's it. It's all that happens.
It's the worst movie I've ever heard described.
That's what they said. That's what they said. And I really enjoyed it. I don't know why. Because I could
relate
to that.
Probably because it was like your life. Well, it was just too real.
I could relate to that thing of going back to
the... sounds awful.
Yeah. I can see why people would think it was awful. Yeah. It'll win an Oscar, though. Best foreign film.
No, it won't.
It will. Best foreign film.
Have you seen The Revenant?
No.
All right. Me neither. I heard...
We do this every year. The Golden Globes. I mean, last year we weren't doing a show together, but... And I just go, I don't know. I haven't seen any of
them. I've seen most of them. I just haven't seen The Revenant yet. There's a gruesome bear fight, and apparently he sleeps inside of his dead horse's carcass.
Lovely. I've seen a lot of these films, but I don't remember seeing them. So I'm useless at this.
All right. Coming up, we're going to highlight some new music for you on a Tuesday. We'll do New Spins Me Right Round, showcasing some of our favorite new hits here at the radio station. Here's Moses Gunn Collective on KX93.5. All right, Cripply and Jew here in studio on KX93.5. That was of Monsters and Men, new music called Wolves Without Teeth.
How long were you sitting with that Cripply and Jew thing?
It just came to me. I swear to God.
Really,
yeah.
The whole song, yeah. Sitting there just drumming your fingers on the table, waiting to say that. One line. I can be guilty of that sometimes.
No, I didn't do it this time. I broke my pinky toe. That's why I'm Cripply, in case you're just
Cripply.
Catching up.
Yep. Cripply Russell.
It's not bad. Like, that could sincerely be a morning DJ's radio name.
It's not a porn name, is it?
Cripply in the Shank on Ralph in the Morning. Okay.
All right.
This is a thing we do on Tuesdays. Because we add all of our music on Mondays, and it's called New Spins Me Right Round.
Correct.
And basically, we have proven that all of the new songs that we play can be sung to the tune of Dead or Alive's You Spin Me Right Round, Baby Right Round.
That's correct. I was thinking about this yesterday, if we got like John Troy, you're familiar, you know who John Troy, what are you doing?
I just was trying to minimize the sound of the lotion going onto your skin.
I'm putting a little hand cream on. What?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John Troy from John Troy's Crunchy Groove Sack on
John
Sunday
Troy.
Night.
Yes. Yeah. So John Troy knows a lot about music and musical theory. We could have Alan Derrimo, who's an old friend of the station who used to do a show here.
Yeah.
Who knows a lot
music
about
nuts.
Music.
Yeah.
Complete music nuts. We should get them in here and they could explain to us exactly why. Mathematically or musically or in terms of musical theory, why this works so well.
That would be good information.
Yeah, it would. But it'd be dead boring slot, though.
Yeah, it's not as boring for us just to sing it.
It's like you don't want to know. It's like Santa Claus. You don't want to know what. It would spoil it, wouldn't it, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
So we prove the fact that we can sing Dead or Alive's You Spin Me Right Round to any song that we add to the radio station. In fact, it wouldn't be a hit on KX93.5 if you couldn't sing.
That's right.
Yeah. So The new song that we're going to prove this to is by a band called The Record Company. They're out of Los Angeles. Kind of bluesy rock, influenced by the Stooges, like the Stones. Kind of a cool generational sound that we love. I really am digging this new song. Okay. And I'm happy that our formula works, because otherwise we couldn't play it. The Record Company has a song called Off the Ground. Brand new ad for us. We'll play some of it and then prove to you our formula. We like to wait for a good breakdown.
Oh, no, it's got to be. You can't start it from the beginning.
No.
It's got to.
Needs a little bit of surprise.
Hooky, though. That's hooky, that little guitar part.
I gotta give myself
damn good.
Off the side of the road. I gotta give myself up off the side of the road. But things are looking clear as a heifer.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You really got to wait for the payoff.
Wait for the payoff. If you just tuned in, we're playing New Spins Me Right Round. You'll get it.
Almost.
Wow. Is this it? 3-4.
New Spins Me Right Round, baby, right round. Like a record, baby, right round, round, round. New Spins Me Right Round, baby, right round. Like a record, baby, right round, round, round.
Oh, it's great. Very satisfying.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
Yeah, we've not had... Well, this is the sorbet of the week, isn't it, really? Not done this for a while, but if you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. It's the sort of thing that, you know... It's a kind of meditation for people that really think meditation's a load of bunk. Please don't call in and complain about that. Let's see. This is a good one.
But if you don't think meditation is a load of bunk, you should listen to Om at Home with Lori Kahn on Sundays at 7 a.m.
She's wonderful, I'm telling you. You see, from coming out of my mouth, meditation, you don't believe me. Lori is the real deal. However, here's a cerebral sorbet. It's supposed to stop you in your tracks and make you go, bruh. Here it is. Just sit gently, sit quietly in a quiet room, preferably with the sound of water running over stones, if you could do that for me right now. And just sit in the lotus position, or cross-legged, or uncross your legs.
By the time you get to the sorbet, everyone will have driven out of the canyon.
So boring, I know. Okay, here it is. This is it. It's a good quote. It's from John Stewart. Religion. I'm going to try and say it in a soothing way. Religion. It's given people hope in a world torn apart by religion. It's good, isn't it?
That is a very good one.
It's great. It's John Stewart. He's brilliant. All right, there you go. That's your shareable sorbet for the day.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Yes, it was.
Here's the band that we love that lives on Catalina Island. They're called Ecstatic Union. And you can see hear a live set from them on our website, kx935.com. If you search for Ecstatic Union, song's called Shine on KX935 Local Music.
Cut so deep, you'll need scuba gear. It's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness on KX935.
All right, then. Once a week, Mike Waldman comes on the show with us and plays some rare tracks. Dig something out of the recesses of the internet that you definitely couldn't have found yourself. And good morning, Mike Waldman.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to have you.
Thank you very
much. Great.
It is great. Everything's great.
Great.
Well, you know, I have to say, even though it was very sad that David Bowie died, it's been really great.
David Bowie died?
Shut up. It's been really great to see all of the interest in his career.
I know.
All of a sudden, you know, this guy never had a hit. He literally never had. Actually,
Fame was the number one.
Let's
Fame
hit, was let's number dance.
One. Yeah, exactly.
But look, you know that when Ziggy Stardust came out, it only got to 75 in the United States. Amazing.
Right. It sold a lot of records after that, though, didn't it? It's not like it was. They were all slow burners. Hunky Dory did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's great to see what everybody's posting. They've been posting a lot of interviews. They've been posting a lot of live performances. The web has been really alive with David Bowie, and we've got three really great pieces of music here today. I'm always interested in who people were before they were famous. So, for example, did you know that David Bowie was in a band called the Conrads, the King Bees, the Mannish Boy, the Lower Third, the Buzz? And what we're going to hear today is from a recording from his band called Riot Squad. Riot Squad was a band that he joined for about 20 or 30 gigs right before he changed his name from Davy Jones to David Bowie. And he's playing a song that he played for the rest of his career. And it wasn't his, it was Lou Reed's. It was one of his favorite Lou Reed songs called Waiting for My Man. So this is Riot Squad with Davy Jones singing Waiting for My Man.
$6 in my hand, up to Lexington, 125. So sick and dirty, more dead than alive. I'm waiting for my man. Hey, white boy, what you doing uptown? Hey, white boy, you chasing all the women around? Oh, pardon me, sir, it springs to my mind. I'm just looking for a good friendly behind. I'm waiting for my man. Here he comes, he's all dressed in black. Real shoes and a big straw hat. He's never early, he's always late. First thing you learn is that you've always gotta wait. I'm waiting for my man. Dirty brown stone, up three flights of stairs. Nobody's tried to pin you, and nobody cares. He's got the works, gives you sweet taste. Then you've got to step, because you've got no time to waste. I'm waiting for my man. Baby, don't you holler. Honey, don't you bawl and shout. I'm feeling good, I know I'm gonna work it on out. I'm feeling good, I feel oh so fine. Until tomorrow, but that's just another time. I'm waiting for my man to walk me home.
Name of the band is Riot Squad, and that's featuring Davy Jones, who very soon after that became David Bowie, Bowie, Bowie. And we didn't know that until Michael Waldman told us it. Michael Waldman comes in weekly and brings music, and here he is, speaking words.
Now, how many of you know what waiting for my man means? That's an old expression. That is an early day expression. Old school, as they would
say. It's not to be taken literally.
Well, he is waiting for a man, but what is the man?
Huh.
I know what it is, but I'm not allowed to say. Is that right?
Well, now you can say it.
And it's a drug deal.
It's his drug deal, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Man.
So in the song, he's going up to Harlem. He's going up to 125th and Lexington.
Okay.
And he's buying a $25 bag of heroin.
Huh.
So that was David's song. That was David's.
Did you ever buy a bag of heroin, 125th in Lexington?
No. Not there, no. But it is a thing, isn't it? Lou Reed makes it sound
romantic.
I don't know. It sounds more desperate to me. You believe he's sort of, you know.
Yeah, well, I would hear itching. It and I would go, oh, that sounds like a fun thing to do. I should go up to 125th in Lexington and score some smack.
No, it's not. I don't think he's encouraging people to do that, is he?
Oh, I who knows? I think he was just giving a report on urban life.
Right.
But I think a lot of people got interested in that urban life.
It
made it, you know, like Kerouac made Hitchhiking Across America famous.
Hmm. I know, but Hitchhiking Across America is a fun and interesting thing to do and probably would add to a young person's education, I would say. Yeah. Whereas heroin, I'm advising people not to do it. I know I'm being crazy here.
Yeah.
I'm going out on a limb.
You're going out on a limb saying heroin is bad.
I think that heroin shouldn't really, kids, if you really.
All right, so that was one of David Bowie's early records. You can hear him playing saxophone on it. His first instrument was saxophone, and in fact, the first instrument he ever got as a gift was a plastic saxophone.
Cool.
This is a guy who said that the first time he heard Tutti Frutti, he saw God. So... Now
my reaction when I heard Tutti
Frutti.
Was he on
Flight to Lexington at the time?
It depends if you heard the Little Richard version. If you heard the Little Richard version of Tutti Frutti, you might have heard God. If you heard the Pat Boone version, you might have thought this is kind of lame.
The first time I heard the song Tutti Frutti was in the film Brave Little Toaster, an animated film that I saw when I was 7 or 8 years old. I loved the movie and I loved the song.
I would like to see that movie. It sounds great.
Oh,
Brave
great
Little
movie.
Toaster.
Yeah,
I think I have to go get a bag of heroin before I see that movie.
All right,
so the next song is a demo probably from his most popular incarnation, which was Ziggy Stardust. Ziggy Stardust was released in 1972. It only got to 5 in Britain, only got to 75 in the United States, but still rated one of the top rock albums of all time by almost every reviewer today.
I know, and you say only got to number 5 in the chart. It's pretty high in the chart. Number 5 is not bad.
But England is such a small place, they only have 5 records at a time.
No.
That was every record.
The point is, it didn't climb in the U.S. until much later when it got more notoriety.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, what we're going to be playing now is we're going to be playing an acoustic demo. So this is Bowie in a studio all by himself, just with a guitar. You can hear him trying out the riff that became famous for that Ziggy Stardust song. What I think is interesting is if you wait until the end, there's a very famous tagline in Ziggy Stardust. Anybody know the last line in Ziggy Stardust?
Yeah, I do. I can hear it, but I can't think of the words.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it at the end, but he doesn't do it in the demo. So maybe the most famous part of the song wasn't in the demo. So this is Bowie. This was released, you know, 40 years after on one of the compilation records. It's David Bowie's demo of Ziggy Stardust. Try to break our bones.
wash your sweet hands. Ziggy played for time, jiving us the wheel was voodoo. Kids was just crass, but he was the mass with God-given ass. It took it all too far before I could he play guitar. Making love with his ego, Ziggy sucked up into his mind like a leper messiah.
Ziggy played guitar. That's the last line of the song.
That is the most famous line of the song. It's always the first line.
So too. Interesting to hear that. Yep. There's a chord, slight chord difference,
yep,
which is actually cooler. I think you should have left it like that. There's a major chord where it just eventually became a minor chord. Really brilliant. It's great to hear.
Incredible poetry. Ziggy sucked up into his mind.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, so, and then, you know, for the last song we're going to play, this is from an unpopular era in his career. It's from the album Low. It was one of the first, what they were called, the Berlin Trilogy. This is a song called Always Crashing the Same Car. It actually refers to a real-life incident that occurred when Bowie was at the height of his cocaine addiction. He was driving his Mercedes. He saw a drug dealer on the street who he believed had ripped him off, and Bowie repeatedly rammed his own car into the dealer's car. So he was that high. And yeah, he said that low was when he was trying to kick cocaine. He said there's oodles of pain on the Low album. He moved to Berlin. He was living in L.A. He was living in the cocaine capital of the world, which was L.A. He moved to Berlin, which he called the smack capital of the world, but he didn't feel like he had any predilection for smack, so he felt it would be safe. So he moved from the cocaine capital to the smack capital to make sure that he wouldn't be an addict.
Yeah.
And so this is not recorded during that time. This is recorded later in his life. One of the last, you could say, when it got to the year 2000, he had pretty much stopped touring. By the time 2004, and he had a major heart attack, he stopped touring. This is from a BBC concert in June of 2000, and he's playing with a brilliant, brilliant band, his version of Always Crashing the Same Car from the Low album.
Awesome. Mike Waldman, thank you as always for your well-informed research on rare tracks, all David Bowie today, and we'll see you next week on Waldman's Wardrobe.
Thank you. looking left and right.
Say